Blog Talk Radio.
Monday night, it is 9 p.m. It is the day after one of the best Knick games in the history of Madison Square Garden. Welcome to another edition of SNY's TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. I'm your host, Anthony Rice Alzdani, and with me is the co-host, Tommy D. And I guess the reason I'm just so happy, because as a fan of the game of basketball, I'm watching this great game right now on NBA TV between LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. D-Wade with 30 in the first half, LeBron with 22, and as a fan of the game, Tommy, it doesn't get much better than that.
No, it doesn't. Two marquee players, obviously, and it's only always great to be with you. The man of the night, I like the new theme entry music. It's always solid. You always do a good job with that. But from an NBA standpoint, yeah, and wouldn't it be nice if the Knicks at some point in the near future could get a marquee name to come and play at the Garden every night?
Boy, it would be nice. We thought we had that guy in Stephon Marbury. We didn't. That's fine. That's over. It's all over and done. You know the number. It's 646-478-5554, TheKnicksBlog.com. The Knicks Blog Radio, we are on every weeknight. The Knicks don't play except Fridays, but it's rarely the Knicks have an off night on Fridays as they do this Friday. But Friday nights, I don't expect anybody to be listening to the radio at 9 o'clock. You should be out doing something or watching the ESPN game, Tommy. And one thing I want to bring up, and we'll get into a lot of stuff with the New York Knicks, the trade deadline coming up. The Knicks' December run is obviously over. the January run is not so good, even though they started out 3-0. And I know Mike D'Antoni, and I love Mike D'Antoni. So you can't really tell what somebody says by what they say to the media, good or bad. And this is something I want to bounce off you, Tommy. I'm not sure if you saw the press conference yesterday. Mike was in. We'd like to see something more from him from a standpoint of talking to the media as far as the game yesterday, maybe a little bit more fire. Obviously, I know he cares, not taking that away from him at all. But the joking with the Jets and stuff, would you like to see a little bit more fire and, we suck today, or something like that? Your thoughts?
I think that goes without saying, really. And, you know, a lot of times, the Knicks, over the before D'Antoni got here, and even, obviously, a couple games last year, they were really non-competitive. And you have some nights in the NBA where, obviously, you don't get blown out by 50 points, but there are games where you just don't show up and you just don't make shots, and the other team makes every single shot. And that's basically how it went yesterday. I mean, the Mavericks really, you know, if they're going to shoot the ball that well and do the things they did yesterday, then you can punch them straight to June, you know, because they're gonna be there. But we know that they're not that good. They had a hot day, and from a coaching standpoint, and I actually get this a lot because a lot of people say, "Oh, I'd like Mark Jackson because he's more defensive minded, and Avery Johnson because you know he wouldn't stand for this stuff." And it's all nonsense because coaches are put in situations, and give D'Antoni a lot of credit actually because Pat Riley's and the Phil Jacksons of the world, they wouldn't have taken this job because the Knicks didn't have a superstar at the time. You mentioned Marbury. Why would a coach want to come to put himself in that situation? I mean, that's the reality. Avery Johnson was put in a great situation with a great player in Dirk Nowitzki. They got to a finals, and then, you know, they couldn't sustain that. So what's Avery Johnson going to do in New York that Mike D'Antoni is, you know, you want to say defensively and he wants to hold people accountable, that's fine. This coach, to me, gets a pass until next year when he has all this, hopefully, as many players of his style and players that he wants to coach and be around. Not to say that he doesn't want me around all these guys every day, but it's definitely a tricky situation. But to answer your question, it's a stinker of a game. It happens, and you know we're going to have to kind of measure D'Antoni in the years to come, not necessarily this year.
No, I agree to that, and I'm all about that, but the bottom line is you're still trying to make the playoffs this year. You're still getting paid the same amount of money this year as you will next year, so I'm not dissing this coach. I think Mike is actually, you know, done a pretty good job coaching. The first 10 games were brutal, but I think he's done a pretty good job coaching the team this year. I think he's adapted to what he's had, and as far as just getting into the game, we can get into that in a few minutes as well as Friday night's Laker game. I guess, you know, as a fan sometimes, you know, maybe you like to see a little bit more fire. I know after the game, he basically just told the team, forget this happened. And in the NBA, you have to do that. You play 82 games. You cannot lose a game and the game over at 10:05 at night and you're still sulking about it the next morning. You can't. You have to move on. But I'm not saying, you know, do something Stan Van Gundy would do and go psycho and throw a chair or something. And by the way, we'll talk to Frank Isola of the New York Daily News at about 9:40, Knicks beat writer. But, you know, maybe see a little bit more fire, you know. Like, I'm not saying undress him to the media. I don't really believe in that. But maybe just a little more fire. I know Mike's a jokester. Obviously, he cared. I'm sure he went home and took it with him home last night. But maybe just a little bit more fire. But that's, you know, at the same time, is that going to make them different? I don't know. Just a thought I had watching the press conference yesterday.
Well, if you read the book, if you read 7 seconds or less, you know, the Suns in general are very open and adamant about officiating. You go back to the Rajah Bell situation with Kobe Bryant. You know, and they really felt Kobe got the better of a lot of calls, and because he's a superstar, and we all know that this is the NBA and it's a superstars league, I guess that's okay. We lived with it with Michael Jordan. You know, it happens. If you have the best player on the other team and he sells a lot of jerseys and people want to watch him, the refs are going to be a little bit more beneficial. That really got under D'Antoni's skin, and I know he said before the season started that he really wanted to make sure that he was going to be much more kinder and gentler towards the officials. And I think that's a smart thing to do, considering the fact that, you know, he's a guy who is already on record in a book saying that, you know, it seemed as if they were getting way too many beneficial calls from Kobe. So he did kind of come across as a whiner. To me, if they get blown out, there's no reason for the coach to get thrown out. You know, it's not one of those things. Jeff Van Gundy would get teed up if, you know, if defending a player or, you know, not liking a call against a player in a heated moment. You know, those are the times, and even Riley, I think coaches know when they should get teed up, and yesterday, to me, it frankly wasn't worth the effort. It was just one of those games that that they just came out completely flat, and again, like you said, it's not going to be, or like I said, you're not going to get blown out by 50 a lot in this league. You shouldn't, but there's times when the other team just makes shots and you don't.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. I mean, the first half was, you know, down 15, 18 points. I wasn't surprised. I thought they should have played better, but I figured, you know, the Knicks would definitely get back in it in the second half. Sure enough, you know, a few minutes in the third quarter, we're almost down 50 points, and I was just, wow, that was crazy. And especially the fact that, you know, the Knicks do deserve to get killed a little bit for yesterday's game, because it's not like they played the night before. They were home. They've been home for a week and a half straight, Tommy. They haven't been traveling. They were played a home game Monday, played the Lakers Friday, and they played them extremely well, also on national TV. Then they're off Saturday. Now, they practiced, but they were, you know, they weren't traveling. They were here, so it's not like they had jet lag. You know, I think the effort definitely wasn't there, and it does come down to missing and making shots, but when you lose by 50, it's not all missing and making shots. It comes down to effort, and I would like to see a better effort from the team yesterday, but in the NBA, I know what happens. But when you're home for over a week straight, not doing anything, I think the effort, as far as yesterday, it had to be a lot better, and it wasn't.
And it's totally fair, and I do agree. You know, I mentioned the shots part. You know, that was to me a
big. They didn't
go
from Detroit the night before.
It's not like they were on the second half back to back, and we saw what the Lakers did. You know, after a hard fought battle in Cleveland. But here's the thing: the Knicks are just a team that they don't have a margin for error.
Yep.
So they really have to come to play every night. And the fact of the matter is, It's not easy, you know, and you don't want to say, oh, well, what are you giving a pass to the players for and the coaches for, because, you know, you give them the day off. They took the, you know, obviously took the day off. The effort really wasn't there and whatever. But at the end of the day, they don't have a margin of error, so things can really snowball for them if they're not sharp. And, yes, it's the coach's job to make sure they're sharp. They are getting closer to the All-Star break. These guys are definitely looking forward to, you know, to especially, again, when a team doesn't have – they have to show up every single night and play hard every single minute of every single night. They just compete and have a chance. So you can – you know, you get that sense where they just maybe are looking towards the All-Star break, and maybe they just let up for a second, and then look what happens.
And that's definitely a possibility. 646-478-5554. See a couple calls online. We'll get to you guys in a few minutes. And I think I was reading about this today by one of the beat writers, and it's something that I know and you know. I don't need to read about this to figure it out. The play, you know, if you look at December, Chris Duhon definitely played a lot better, not all-star status, but a lot better, and the team played a lot better. Yesterday is lost Tommy. Obviously, you can't put on anybody because you lose by 50. It's definitely not one guy's fault. But this guy, Chris, has played awful. Awful. I mean, you could throw 1,000 words in the English dictionary about how he's played, and none of them are good words. He's played terrible, and I think if the Knicks really want to make a push at the playoffs, and I think Donnie Walsh is going to do that, he is going to try to add a point guard to the roster because, you know, Nate Robinson is not a point guard. Tony Douglas might be, just not right now, and the Knicks do want to make the playoffs. And I think they have to make it because, you know, we know it's about next summer, but the bottom line is there's still a team and there's still season left. And the Knicks, they want to make the playoffs. Either Chris Duhon needs to get a rocket up his ass and start playing some ball, or they need to make a trade for a decent point guard that at least can make a play for somebody or make a layup maybe.
Well, listen, I've defended him as much as I possibly can, and it's not one of those situations where it's because he was a Walsh or D'Antoni signing. If he were an Isaiah signing, I would still defend him based on the fact that as a point guard, he does, and as a former point guard myself, you know, he does control tempo. He does do decent things. He doesn't play defense, and now he's not making any shots. So when you factor all those things together, his time really is up. Now the question is, what do you do? And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think they'll look for some sort of equal or maybe even a partial upgrade. You're not going to have a huge blockbuster at the deadline. I mean, I would be shocked. But if they can go out and they can bring somebody in, you know, and then you're going to say who, you know, and Frank can speak to Augustine much more than I can, but DJ Augustine from Charlotte, obviously. You know, there Steve Blake, maybe. You know, there are some names out there that are possibilities to be moved. Rafer Alston was a guy who had a chance to be here. Nate wasn't going to the Nets. The Knicks turned the deal down. He's not here. I think it would behoove the Knicks, if you're going to be showcasing players, or at least these guys having tryouts for next year, then you have to move Duhon to the bench because we all know he's a backup point guard, really, in this league, and you have to see if he's going to be that sort of player and he can respond to that role off the bench. I mean, if that's the future for Chris Duhon, because obviously he's not going to be a starter here anymore, if he's going to be somebody that you're going to keep on the roster, then you have to bring him off the bench and see how he adjusts to that and almost like a tryout for next year.
I agree. I think Chris, I wouldn't mind if Chris is my backup point guard. I have no problem with that. As far as the controlling the tempo, I think he does do a good job with that. But when you say he doesn't play defense, doesn't hit an open shot, you know, in December when the Knicks played better, Chris was making a lot of his open shots. He was hitting David Lee on the pick and roll, and he just hasn't done that lately yet. DJ Augustine, maybe you look at, you mentioned Portland and Blake. Andre Miller, who thought maybe he was on the block a few weeks back, he's ever since him and McMillan apparently had a shouting argument in practice, Andre Miller stepped up his game and has played very, very good basketball, which we know, Tommy, he's a very good point guard, a guy who the Knicks, you know, wanted to get, but obviously with the cap, they weren't going to give him the money that he wanted, so maybe Steve Blake's an option. But like I've always said on the show and just to friends and to you, and you know this, we'll talk about trades like crazy, and then on the 18th or the 17th, some trade will happen that we had no idea that was coming. It's just one of those things, and seems to be how it goes. But like you said, if the Knicks want to make a playoff run, and I hope they do, and I hope they can, you're going to have to upgrade at that point guard position without mortgaging the future. That's for sure. And the schedule definitely gets pretty, you know, a lot harder after the All-Star break with a lot of tough games, a lot of road games, and a lot of fans. I did a lot more solo shows in the last month, Tommy, and a lot of fans were calling up, and you can't blame them. And I was excited too in December. And remember, I said I got to see 20 games, Tommy. I wasn't quietly sold, and I had a couple fans. Definitely great fans of the blog and the show. Obviously, the KnicksBlog.com. Tommy is the author. You know what? This Knicks team is a 5 seed. And I was like, fellas, relax before we get 5 seed. You know, relax. Let's get to that 8th spot in April before we start getting 5 seed. You can't blame the people being excited. But I said I wanted to see 12 games, and the last two games of my 20-game streak, they lost to Houston and OKC. It's really been downhill ever since then.
And for Duhon, we look back to the Indiana game where he was actually very, very good. He hit he had six field goals.
Sunday night, we won by like 40.
Absolutely.
Correct.
And since then, off the top of my head, since then, I think he's made something like, I remember I was looking at this earlier today, I think in 9 games he's made 12 shots.
Yeah, I believe in the last three or four. I don't have the stats in front of me. In fact, I don't want to look at him. I think he's three for his last something, if that's correct. And his little circle. I mean, I think it was yesterday or was it Friday. He had a clear move to the basket where there wasn't a defender for miles, and he just almost airballed the layup. I mean, that's got to be confidence right there. You're a professional basketball player. I understand you missed some jump shots here and there, but the layup, you got to put in the hole.
And interestingly enough, you know, Coach D'Antoni mentioned that the other day and saying that, you know, he is struggling with confidence and, you know, he has to get that back. And they have given him a lot of leash, and that has frustrated fans. And, you know, I think in fairness, and if any fans on the line want to talk about this or who are listening want to talk about this, there are people who didn't like Duhon last year. Duhon was playing well last year. Obviously, he hasn't been that good since, but it was a little unfair to get on him last year. Now it's completely fair. But to say you were right about Duhon all along is a little tricky because we know what this guy is. We know when he came here, the guy's a backup point guard who's thrust into the starting role, did a decent job, up-tempo. Obviously, they couldn't keep up that pace. They had to slow everything down. They became a better team. And, you know, he just hasn't made shots. And to me, like I said, if the purpose of this year is to audition guys for next year, his spot, his role, you know, in casting will certainly be, and a great charge by Dwayne Wade on LeBron James as I digress, but his role will be a backup point guard. We have to see him in that role if he has any sort of future here with the Knicks.
Yeah, if the Knicks can get a good point guard over the summer and want to bring Chris Duhon back as a backup point guard, I certainly don't have any problem with that, and we'll talk more Chris Duhon as the show goes on. We'll definitely get some calls in about a minute, and if you want to call up and talk some Knicks and Duhon, that's totally fine. 646-478-5554. You want to talk about this game tonight with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, that's fine. You want to talk about the All-Star balloting. Tommy, when are the reserves announced? The end of the week, is that correct?
It's the end of the week, and we should definitely be expecting, I believe, David Lee to be on that list.
It would definitely be nice. I don't know this off the top of my head either. Bad job. I guess I didn't even think I was going to bring this up. But I think the Knicks have to have the longest streak in the NBA or maybe in sports, because baseball, you have to send every team has to send a player. Football, the teams are so big, and same with hockey. The Knicks haven't had an All-Star in 9 years. I mean, you would think you'd have one by accident. I think every team has sent one there in the last 9 years. I mean, the Hawks hadn't had one for a while until Joe, but I think every team's had an All-Star in the last 9 years.
Kind of sad, isn't it?
Isn't that crazy, though? I mean, even with that, 9 years without an All-Star, I don't care if you've been bad, you should have one by accident.
You would think, and, you know, I guess, you know, there's always that, every year, going into every year, you know, this guy could play at an All-Star level. You know, you talk about Crawford, you talk about Randolph, you talk about Curry, who was close a couple years ago.
Yep.
But, if you're teams, and again, this is something we talk about on the blog all the time with national media and people who are, you know, paying attention, and their job is to you know, keep an eye on the NBA as a whole. If you're not winning, it's very easy to tune you out, because the Knicks really have been, before this year, the Knicks really have been the same team for a long, 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 long time. So it's very easy to kind of typecast them. And that's when you're not winning, you're not going to have any All-Stars, and people aren't going to pay attention.
And Tommy, another 5 out of 7 losses, 6 out of 10 losses, or whatever that may be, the Knicks are right back as far as this year being that same team they have been the last 9 years, just from a record standpoint.
That's exactly right, and they got to be careful here. And you know, I've said this a bunch of times on the show that, you know, they really have to kind of hover around that 4 or 5 game under 500 mark. And I think if they can do that, if they can sum, what are they, 8 now or 8 or 9?
8 games under now. 8 games. Wait, is it or not? No, it's 8. 8 games
they're
under
8
now.
So if they can go their next, you know, whatever games before the deadline, before the All-Star break, and kind of get 3 or 4 games back in the loss column, I think you can kind of stamp that as a very good first half in terms of goal setting for the team. And like you said, if it goes the other way, then next thing you know, they're 10, 11 games under 500, and then it's just, you know, a lot of stuff that we, and you know, when you talk about the playoffs, you're talking about the Bulls are playing better. You're talking about a team, the Bulls last year, who really went
very well.
Absolutely, they're getting away. They're getting away. Larry Brown's done a really good job, and Steven Jackson's been a great addition there. And then you're talking about competing with the Bulls, a team who went toe to toe with the Celtics last year, minus Kevin Garnett. in a really good playoff series. So, you know, the Bulls aren't going anywhere either. So the Knicks are going to really have to improve their team if they're going to want to make the playoffs this year.
No question. One more also note, and we'll get to the first call. Just a random thought, and you're a huge NBA guy as well as myself. Isn't it crazy that Deron Williams has never been an All-Star? And isn't it crazy, just because of the abundance of guards in the Western Conference, that he might retire? Let's say he plays his whole career in the West, Tommy. There's a chance he could retire in 10 years, hopefully longer. And he'll be a Hall of Famer, but with maybe one All. How isn't that weird? Where could you be a Hall of Famer and only have one or two All-Star appearances on your record? Could you still be a Hall of Famer? Because obviously Deron Williams is an All-Star point guard, but he's never been to the game.
And he's on pace. I mean, you know, he racks up assists. I mean, before it's all said and done, he can be top 10 in the NBA in history in assists, and you know, be a two or three time All-Star. So yes, it is very weird, but I would expect. But here's the thing. That's a good question. It's a little too early to kind of figure that out. But, you know, Chris Paul may go to the other league. Steve Nash will retire in a couple of years. Then, you know, then he'll be kind of highlighted. Jason Kidd will go away. So, you know, then he'll start to get more recognition as just, you know, the number of guards start to fade away.
It's just a weird thing that Deron Williams has never played in the All-Star game. He's from Texas. I like to see that guy there this year. And, you know, because, you know, Chris Paul can make it, Chauncey Billups, Steve Nash. Aaron Brooks, a lot of TNT guys had Aaron Brooks on their roster, and we can get into that later. But just wanted to throw that out there to you that Deron Williams has never been an All-Star. And Mark Jackson's another guy, he's third all-time in assists, correct? I think he's only played in one All-Star game. Obviously, I think Deron Williams is much better than Mark Jackson, but Mark's only played in a couple All-Star games, but he's in the top three or four in assists of all time.
I think he's second. I think he passed Magic.
That's right, he did. He's second, yep.
Yeah, so... Yeah, that's there you go, and that kind of goes to show. I mean, Mark Jackson's definitely not a Hall of Famer, so you know you can rack up a ton of assists and not make a lot of All Star games, and you know there's your answer kind of with Jackson. I think, like I said, I think Deron Williams still has a long way to go, and as the elder statesman in terms of the point guard position on the Western Conference starts to fade, you'll see him on more teams.
No question. Let's start hitting the phones. Tommy, as our loyal listeners are. On the line, 646-478-5554. Thank you for spending your Monday night with us. I know a lot of people in the city are probably wrapped up with the Jets, whether you're a Jet fan or not. And condolences to the Jet fans. You guys had a great run. I like Rex Ryan. He is a gangster. 646-478-5554 is the number, thenixblog.com, the Knicksblog radio. You know the drill. I'll say your area code. State your name, where you're calling from. Let's talk some Knicks. Let's talk some hoops. Let's talk some NBA. And let's start it off with area code 315. You're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicksblog radio.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on?
Syracuse.
Oh, what's up,
what's up, bro? Happy New Year.
Oh, Happy New Year, man. Yeah, Rex Ryan is a gangster, man. I'm proud of
him. Yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah. Oh, and I also want to say I'm real happy how the NBA responded to Haiti. You know, I'm really happy with what they're doing.
Oh, they're doing a great job. Great job.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I'm embarrassed of the Knicks right now. I don't know what happened or what that loss, but I don't know. I remember Stephen A. used to say on 1050, if you're gonna lose badly and get on the map, you know. So like,
I guess they did that.
What they did, you know, they were all over NBA TV and everything with that loss. But I don't know. Like, I see it fading with the whole LeBron James thing, because LeBron James is doing good now. Like, I
think LeBron James has always been doing good. And, Tommy, I was going to bring this up to you, and this means probably nothing. It's more of just watching the game and observing. It's, you know, seeing that game Thursday night, Tommy, versus the Lakers, and seeing LeBron in that city is like, oh, boy, it would be tough for him to leave, man. It would be. And it does, you know, I think the playoffs and what's around him in the cap, but, oh, boy, I think it would be tough for him to leave that city.
I don't think it's changed one way or the other to me based on the fact that, you know, that he hasn't signed on the dotted line yet. So you really don't know. And day in and day out, his focus is not about where he's playing next year. His focus is where he's playing on right now. It, to me, a big thing is going to be the race to arms. And by that, I mean, you know, is Boston going to upgrade? What's Cleveland going to do? Is Cleveland going to take advantage of contracts, you know, their expiring contracts and bring guys in, you know? I don't think Antoine Jameson is going to be given away for nothing, you know, a big Z, you know, or they don't have draft picks. I don't think David West is going to get traded there for nothing. I would hope he doesn't. If that's the case, you know, the New Orleans, who has a team going to the Super Bowl right now, you know, if their NBA franchise can't afford to keep guys around, then, you know, they should just fold up, as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, listen, if you're asking me today, do I feel 100% confident, I still feel the same, and I still feel very confident.
You still feel 100% confident LeBron will be a Nick?
I feel 100% confident that LeBron will be a Nick for several reasons, as I've stated a million times. But, you know, most importantly, I really believe, you know, moving forward, unless they can bring in a guy, you know, they're not going to get Stoudemire. David West would be a nice player for them. But, you know, is he going to play? And I know he's just a below an all-star caliber player and somebody who I've always been a huge fan of. You know, but are they going to plug him in for 35 minutes so he can be effective? I don't know. I still feel 100% confident based on the fact that I don't care what anybody says, I believe Nike has a big decision, a big say in this decision. So we'll see.
I hear you, Tommy. I have one more thing to say.
What's up?
The point guard situation. I remember I like Chris Duhon.
Can you play, Frank? Can you play?
Me?
Yeah. I think they're having an open tryout. They have a two-day break next week. I think they have an open tryout up in Greenberg.
He is from Syracuse.
Hey, Johnny Flynn will be in the Garden tomorrow night. Syracuse playing the Hoyas tonight.
I'll take Trish, too. I'll take the Trish kid. He can play for me.
Yeah. SC is doing good this year. I'm going to be in the Garden on Thursday.
Oh, so definitely I'll be there. If Tommy's there, let us know. You've been a big supporter of the blog and the show. We definitely love to catch up.
I should be there Thursday.
Yeah, I'll hit you up.
Yeah, let us know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and we'll definitely catch up at the game for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like, I'm cool with Chris Duhon. You know, he's a Facebook friend of mine. And
okay.
I really like the guy, and I remember talking to him earlier this year, and I was telling him how, like, you know, we were talking about his cousin, Jared Jack, and
mm-hmm.
I was like how the Knicks should sign him.
Jared Jack.
And he's kicking butt right now in Toronto, and I think he's a good reason why, you know, Toronto is doing good right now and why he kicked our butts the other time we played him.
That's definitely fair, Frank, and obviously thank you for the call. Check in with us on before Thursday, me and Tommy at the game, Tommy and I. Yeah, I don't think Toronto's giving up Jared Jack, but since he brought it up, I like Jared Jack a lot. I think I'm not saying he's the greatest point guard, but I think he's a tough kid. I definitely like him.
I don't think he's a point guard myself. I think he's a guy who kind of I don't want to say he's a lot like Duhon because Duhon is more of a point guard, but you know he does have a big shoot first mentality. He has played very well for Toronto, and you know that seems to be a team that's going in the right direction for sure. And the Knicks have their chance to kind of get back at them. I believe next week, right?
That's
Thursday night. Okay. So now you're looking at – I got the schedule in front of me, so I should look at it. Minnesota, Toronto home, and then you've got Washington, Minnesota on the road, and then Washington again, and then Milwaukee home. So the next six games, you know, they can't go 5-1 in those games.
You'd hope. I think the key is, I think we do it all the time as Tommy. We're both fans, both talk show hosts, whatever. I think you got to take it one game at a time. I think you're right, though. They could go 5-1. They could go 1-5, though. It's just one of those things, because like you said at the top of the show, they're not good enough. You know what I'm saying? Could they go 5-1? They could go 6-0. But the thing is, they have to bring it every night. You show up like you did Sunday and just think you're going to win a basketball game, you'll get blown out by any. You'll get blown out by the Timberwolves tomorrow night.
What would you be comfortable with over these next six games before they go to Cleveland on Sunday?
Realistically, 5-1 would be...
Washington twice, Minnesota twice. Milwaukee,
like
who's struggling.
4-2. I mean, 5-1 would be great, and we could definitely pop a bottle for that. But I think 4-2, I would, you know, I'd sign up for just because it's safe. But 5-1, I think it could happen. But I'll say 4-2. Just if I had to pick right now, I would say 4-2 just because that's safe. 4-2. I would definitely 3-3. I wouldn't be happy with it all. But 4-2, I'd take. I think they could go 5-1. Are they gonna? I don't know. Because Toronto is the toughest game in that group, but they played Toronto a few weeks. They should have some revenge on their mind Thursday night at the Garden, and hopefully they get Toronto back for the beating. And you know, that was a bad game too, where Toronto got up almost 40 points on the Knicks at the Garden on last Friday. That was a disgrace, too, because the Knicks came back and made a game of that one.
I would hope that the team manages to. Well, this is going to be interesting as you look at that Milwaukee game on Friday, the 5th of February. If the team struggles going into that game, right? If they go 2-3, or if they go, you know, even 3-2, the reception that Brandon Jennings is going to get versus if the team goes in there with a, you know, four or five game, you know, a 4-1 or a 5-game winning streak into that game, you know, will the crowd not be so? To be honest with you. And this is how I feel about the Garden sometimes. There are so many people in there that I don't even know are Knicks fans, or I don't even think are Knicks fans.
Yep.
That, you know, you get to a game and all of a sudden a guy does a couple things and the whole place is going nuts.
Yep. So I remember about New York, the basketball fans too. Either the Knicks were 20 games over 500. I think the crowd Friday night will be hyped to see Brandon Jennings just because he's flashy. You know, probably have a couple sick moves and fadeaway threes. So even if the Knicks were just as good a record as the Cavs or the Lakers, I think the Garden is going to be hyped and probably give Jennings a rousing ovation anyway. Even if the Knicks had Chris Paul, they'd probably give the kid a nice ovation because he's a flashy rookie and he's, you know, he bursts on the scene with a 55-point game.
Yeah, that's kind of, from an organizational standpoint, it's kind of a nightmare. And then they go off to Cleveland right after that. So there's a, this thing could get sour really, really quick. They got to be careful here.
No, definitely a rough stretch. And Frank Isola will be online with us in about 8 to 9 minutes for the New York Daily News, the beat writer. 646-478-5554 is the number. And whatever, I'll just do a little name dropping right now. Jeff Van Gundy will be on the show soon. Can't guarantee when. We're shooting for a week from tonight. I spoke to Jeff on the phone today. I'm being a little, you know, whatever. But he will be on the show soon, hopefully Monday night, a week from tonight. If not Monday, definitely soon. Nice guy. I had a chance to talk last week and just want to throw that out there, Tommy.
That's a huge get, and the list keeps on growing in terms of great spots on TKB Radio. And Van Gundy is a guy that every Knicks fan should be excited to hear, and he does a great job with ESPN, obviously, so definitely looking forward to that.
Definitely. And from a show standpoint, having Van Gundy on, because it would be the first time to have him on, I mean, Tommy, wouldn't you love to just talk to him for like 4 hours, if not more?
Yeah, oh, I could. No, I would take out, I take out napkins. If we were sitting down at a restaurant, I'd
be
going.
That'd be ridiculous.
Doing plays with, you know, salt and pepper shakers, and I can see us having. He and I would have a long conversation if that ever presented itself. You know, that could be a dream for me, and from an X's and O's standpoint. That's my thing. Yeah.
But from a radio standpoint, the first time I interview Jeff, I do want to talk NBA, but I like to talk a lot of past Knicks stuff. Then if for some reason he becomes cool with the show and he comes on once a month, once every 2 months, then we'll, you know, focus just NBA. But the first time interviewing Jeff, I mean, how could you not ask him about, you know, the 90s and all that stuff and take a trip down memory lane, especially if we are at theknicksblog.com. So I think Knicks fans would just absolutely love that. But obviously you ask him about, you know, the Lakers and the Blazers and this team and that team, but how could you not take a trip down and ask him about certain situations, maybe get some good stories and good insight from Jeff? One thing, Tommy, we'll get to the next call in a second. I don't know. It's not really a big deal. I think I've talked about this before. I wish the Garden would recognize him when he's in the house, put him on the screen for a second. Not a big deal. Just something I just wanted to bring up to you.
Not going to happen.
I know.
Mr. Dolan's not, you know why it's not going to happen, so that's a moot point because, you know, in the owner's eyes, he turned his back on the franchise, and look forward to speaking to him about that if he'll allow us to. Great foresight on his part. He was completely right about the whole situation, so, you know, he shouldn't really have any trepidation or regrets about it because he did do the right thing for himself and his career. But I don't see him being recognized as the next great Knick coach or put on the board.
Yeah.
Under the current watch.
Yeah, definitely sort of a shame, but at least they had him at Ewing night. 646-478-5554 is the number. And let's go back to the phones. Let's bring in area code 917. You're on the air, theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, D.
Yo, what up?
Yo.
What's going on, man? It's James.
What's up, James?
What's going on? Nothing. I wanted to talk about first two things. The first thing was going back a few minutes and you guys were talking about Chris Duhon.
Okay.
Tommy, I think you're letting him off the hook a little bit because I hear what you're saying. When we got him, we knew what he was, but he was right at that age. I think he was 25 years old last season, or when we got him last season in the beginning. And then there was a lot of talk about him, you know, finally getting the starting role, and with the expanded minutes, he was going to really show. But I really think he's pl- played underneath par for even for what was expected of him as a Knick point guard.
Yeah, he has, except for the first half of last year. I think Tommy knows that. I think we both know that. We all three of us know that. First half of last year, he was great, Tommy, and since then, he's can't put the ball in the ocean, and he really can't do much of anything.
This was the big year for me, and I remember I was on Wheelhouse with Tierney, and we were talking about it, and I said he's Charlie Ward in a lot of ways because he's a guy who I think for 24 or 25 minutes can be pretty productive, and that to me was always, you know, Charlie Ward I don't think averaged more than 9 or 10 points a game and what, about 5 assists and a couple turnovers and hit a couple threes, but he was always
You're missing a big, big part of Charlie Ward, though, that Chris Duhon doesn't bring anything to, and that's the defense. I'll give you that. But Charlie brought something on the defensive end that nobody on this team brings. So I don't really want to compare Duhon to Charlie Ward, other than the fact one of them have much of an offensive game. But if I had to choose, there's no question I would choose Charlie, hands down.
I think it gets a little tricky based on the fact that he, you know, the memory of Ward is him playing with a lot of, even the teams that were bad that he played on were better than these teams. But I see your point definitely about, and I'm not, I can probably look back on the comparison and say that it was a little off because I thought he was a little bit better defender based on Duke or whatever. The game has changed in fairness to Duhon. Players can't put their hands on. I mean,
Ward did that a lot.
Ward used to hand check every possession, and that's obviously not allowed in the league anymore. But I think it's fair to say that I've let him off the hook. I think based on this past month and a half, or at least this past month, he has been under par. And I mean, I said in the beginning of the show that it's time for him, you know, to step aside. And if they're auctioning or at least auditioning players for next season, let's see what his role can be off the bench. Because ideally, that's what you would want him to do. So even if it's somebody who's kind of on par with him, or at least maybe a little bit better, put them in the starting role and see what Duhon can do off the bench.
Guys, Tommy definitely agreed. How about that play that Charlie used to make? He didn't do it every game, but where a guy had the ball in the post and he would sneak around
whole
court. That was just, no one ever does that. It was just so, like, it was almost unfair, but it was legal. It's like it was illegal. Zoe would have the ball on the left block. Charlie would come from, like, the top of the key and go around and just take the ball like a little rat, you know? Like, I had no problem with it, though, but it was just, I felt like a cheap play, but it really wasn't.
Ward had
the other.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, just the other thing that you guys said about the fans, and you brought up Brandon Jennings on the fifth, and I just wanted to say one thing before I go, which was you're absolutely right that would draw the Garden crowd. You mentioned the Knicks being over 20 games over 500, and I just think the main difference in that would be that we would come out to watch him fail. If we were 20 games over 500, we would come out booing him. It would be hostile. We'd want to show that we don't need him. That's the arrogance that New Yorkers have. And when they don't have that arrogance, they're a little bit more quiet. yeah, if you want to say that. But
we've been lost souls for 10 years at the Garden, then.
we really have. But I mean, if you think back to ancient times, you know, at one point we were 20 games over 500. So you remember when Reggie would come in and Steve Smith would come in with the Hawks and all those guys, and those guys booed, and those guys wouldn't score in the fourth quarter, and that's how it would be. And I don't think that people would come out to see Brandon Jennings be.
Well, I remember Smitty killing us a few times. And James, thanks for the call as always. You always
right.
Great call. I remember Smitty killing us a few times in the fourth quarter in some games, though. But yeah, James is definitely right. And Tommy, Ward or Childs?
Wow, no, it's 50-50 because that's exactly what they were.
I agree. Yep.
That's exactly what they were. You know, that's exactly what they were. I thought both players should have taken, you know, control. I mean, Childs decided that he wanted to come off the bench, which is like, you know,
his first year at the Knicks.
That was a little wacky, and Ward to me was never a starter in the league too. So, I thought Childs was more talented. I always go back to the time when he almost dunked it on Alonzo Mourning and down in Miami during the playoffs. I think that was 96, his first year. He almost banged on Alonzo Mourning.
I thought Childs was more turnover prone though.
I think, and he played with more of an edge, he definitely had issues. And Ward was more of a, you know, control, under control guy, not flashy, but can knock down big shots. Listen, I think those guys, in fairness to Duhon, and again, I can't be any more clear about this, you know, the guy has, he definitely hasn't been good the past month. He hasn't been the worst Knick point guard in history, but in fairness to him, he hasn't played well, obviously. Those guys, when you think of Childs and Ward, you're talking about two guys that played with much better players in a much different league. So it's difficult. I use the comparison to Ward because he's the guy who obviously can make some shots and kind of float and start the offense and give the ball up early and do that sort of stuff. Duhon has a worse shot selection, I will say that. So it's a toss up. All those guys are just they're bench point guards. Let's face it.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's always it's always, especially in the NBA, Tommy. It's what if Steph played? What if? Remember they always said that Stephon Marbury was to audition for Jeff Van Gundy? What if, and Frank always, who's coming out with us in a few minutes, used to write, what if the Knicks got Stephon Marbury when Ewing was here and all those guys are here? You never know what could happen, but you don't know. What if? That's the thing with basketball sometimes, and that's just what happens, and what can you do? But, yeah, Ward and Childs, the two-headed monster, definitely some good times for them. I looked up Chris Childs on Facebook and Twitter. Don't know where he is. I'd love to get a hold of Childs. I'd love to get a hold of Sprewell, get one of those guys on, but don't know where they are. They're not really active in the league now, and I'd love to get one of those guys on sometime, but I don't know how to get a hold of them. But anyway, we'll try that some other time. Right now on the line, what's that?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. I didn't know Frank's coming on. Go ahead.
Yeah, Frank's on right now. Maybe Frank can help us get a hold of one of those guys. So I'd love to interview one of those two guys. Right now on the line, he's the beat writer for the New York Daily News, and he does a phenomenal job, and that's Frank Isola. Frank, what's going on, man?
Anthony, what's up?
Nothing much. Tommy and I were just BSing around saying, I'd love to get an interview with Latrell Sprewell or Chris Childs. Where are those guys?
You still hang with Sprewell, don't you? You still hang with him, don't you?
I guess the Knicks lose by 50 points, and now you want to talk to guys from 10 years ago. That's all it is?
No, Sprewell was my hero when I was in high school, so I've always wanted to interview Sprewell since I got into the radio thing a few years back.
Yeah. Hey, Latrell's living in Milwaukee. Living the life of a retired guy.
He doesn't come over to your house for barbecues over the summer, or you don't hang out on the boat or anything?
Nah, I actually got along with him very well. He was actually a pretty good guy to cover. Really good guy.
It was always my dream to see LJ, as a fan, to see LJ come back to a game, and he finally did last year for that night, and I'd love to see maybe Spree come back, but I don't think that's ever going to happen.
And there's a couple of reasons why that's going to happen. Number one would be Jim Dolan. And number two, I don't think, Latrell's not like that. I don't think he'd want to be part of something like that.
Right, yeah, I'd probably agree. And, Frank, let's get to the Knicks right now. And yesterday's game, Frank, I mean, obviously, where does that rank in worst performances in the history of the Knicks besides numbers? I mean, how bad was that, and what were you thinking watching that game?
Well, it's strange because I've actually seen worse performances than that where they really didn't give an effort. You know, the score is incredible. You know, when it gets to 53 points, it's like you're trying to do the arithmetic in your head, and it's a little mind-boggling. You know, they've actually had worse performances than that over the years. I actually think the worst home loss, that Martin Luther King game back in 2002 when they lost by 43, they were actually even worse in that game, even though they only lost by 43 points. This one, they were actually in the game at halftime, and then the third quarter came, they were actually, 38-13, and, it's in some ways, not losing by 50 points wasn't predictable. But the fact that they would not have a lot of energy, I kind of had a feeling that would be the case. You know, there's so much built up around, the Lakers coming in and playing Kobe Bryant. The Knicks actually played pretty well that night. They obviously lose the game. And then, you turn around less than 48 hours, you're playing a home game. There's not that much buzz in the building. The fact that Jason Kidd wasn't playing, I'm sure it took some of the edge off of the Knicks. They probably thought it would be a much easier game for them. And, sometimes in the NBA, talent wins. It's also about playing hard. And I think you look at the guys that came in, for Dampier was Drew Gooden, and he was terrific. And, the point guards of Dallas did a terrific job in Kidd's absence. So, when guys had an opportunity, they played hard. And sometimes playing hard makes all the difference in the NBA, and I thought on Sunday that definitely was the case.
And Frank, we talked about Chris Duhon, obviously the last couple of games. Well, I think we had the stats a few minutes ago. In his last nine games, I think he's made 12 field goals after that pretty solid performance, his last solid performance against the Pacers.
Yeah.
I mentioned that now it's his time. I think as we move towards the deadline, you've mentioned guys that the team, from a point guard standpoint, that the team may be interested in bringing in, and obviously that goes into a whole different range of is it even possible. But wouldn't you think now that the team should think about, if you're going to audition Juhan for the team next year, off the bench is probably something that, and I know they don't have many options, but I guess the question is, are they going to look to bring in other options and then bring Juhan off the bench?
I'm sure that they're, you know, the Knicks have been looking for a point guard really ever since they signed Juhan. It was something they looked at over the summer. You know, if they had drafted Brandon Jennings, that probably would have solved some things. But, you know, Juhan has not played well at all. I mean, I don't know under what scenario you would bring him back next year. I mean, he is a backup. There's no doubt about that. That's what he's suited to be. But I don't know. I mean, I think you could probably upgrade even as a backup as well. So I don't think Chris Juhan will be back, but I think as long as he's here, I think he's going to play because the coach likes him. And he's always had the backing of the coach. I think that's pretty obvious. You know, when Nate Robinson sat for 14 games, you know, the way that Chris Duhon's playing, you know, you're not going to see him get benched, and he's still going to stay in the starting lineup. So Juhan has the backing of the coach because he can run an offense. He just, you know, he can't make a shot if his life depended on it. And, you know, he's really hurting them right now. There's no question about it.
Frank, I like Mike D'Antoni a lot. I think he's done a pretty good job this year and last year as well. After the game, a lot of the laughing and stuff about the – I know Mike seems to be like a fun guy to cover, it seems, probably. But yesterday after the game, laughing and stuff, you did lose by 50. Would you like to see a little bit more fire out of him after the game in the press conference?
You know what? You know, that's not his personality, and I think the Madison Square Garden doesn't want their coaches to have that personality. That you'd want to show some anger after a game like that. And when you don't see the anger, I think it's a little disappointing, to be honest with you. Yeah, there's nothing wrong. I think people in New York kind of like guys that like a coach when he, you know, kind of wears his emotions on his sleeves. You know, look at, you know, if that had been Pat Riley coaching the game or Jeff Van Gundy, can you imagine what they would have been like after a loss like that? Then again, they wouldn't have lost like that, but if they did, just imagine how they would have been.
And, Frank, as we talk about the All-Star game, there's been a lot of talk. The recent slide, and again, when we talk about getting closer to 500, obviously it doesn't seem to be a reality, at least at this point in time. They do have some winnable games coming up. Does the team's record really impact David Lee in terms of the league, in terms of him becoming an All-Star reserve next Thursday?
I would think for some coaches it does. I think for some coaches it doesn't, because Danny Granger made it last year, and he was playing for a losing team. So I think it all depends on which coaches are voting. And, you know, if you look at the Eastern Conference, you know, you have the five guys that have already made the team, and then, you know, Joe Johnson and Chris Bosh are locks to make it. That makes seven. I would think that Gerald Wallace deserves to make it. That's eight. You figure two more guys off of Boston, that would be 10. You know, so now you're talking, you know, David Lee, Derrick Rose, I would think Vince Carter, Al Horford. If you wanted to throw somebody else in there from Cleveland, since they might have the best record. You know, so I don't think he's a lock by any stretch of the imagination. So I think it also depends on when the coaches voted for. I don't exactly know, you know, when they voted. You know, David Lee's numbers have been pretty good the last 2 months. So I think from that standpoint, you know, he's got a really good chance to make it. But look at it this way. Has there ever been an All-Star off of a team that lost by 50 points in a game? I'd be interested to know the answer to
that. That's a great trivia question. We're talking to Frank Isola of the New York Daily News here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. And, Frank, obviously the Knicks had to protect the cap over the summer and not give any contracts out past 2010, with the exception of the draft picks. Do you think that the Knicks maybe regret not signing David Lee over the summer, because now – if they want to keep him, which I think they do, they're probably going to have to pay him more next summer than they would have paid him last summer?
No, I don't think they regret it. And I don't think it's a guarantee that he'll be back. You know, David Lee's put up good numbers, but the bottom line is, what's the Knicks record right now? And he's never been on a team that's had a winning record. So, you know, if you're going to fall in love with the numbers, he's an easy guy to fall in love with. But, you know, there isn't two ends of the court, and one is a defensive end. You know, he's fifth on the team in rebounds, and he's the starting center of the team. Yeah, he doesn't make it. He doesn't make enough of an impact on one side of the court to really be considered that caliber of player. He's going to get a big contract from somebody. There's no doubt about it. But you know, would you put him in the same class as Pau Gasol? You know, I don't think he would do that. Certainly, you know, he's a much different player than, say a guy like Dirk Nowitzki. I don't, you know, it's going to be an interesting call. I think the Knicks organization is a little split on David Lee. I think there's some people in there that don't want to give him the big money. I think the coach does. As for everybody else, I'm not so sure.
As we talk right after, and it's kind of crazy how close the trade deadline is right after the All-Star break. Actually, I think it's too close, but that's not, obviously not my decision. Two games against the Bulls, who right now, based on what's going on in Charlotte and how well they're playing, it seems to be that, you know, that eighth spot is going to be down to the Bucks to a degree, the Knicks and the Bulls. And obviously, we talked about the Bulls being pretty playoff tested last year against the Celtics. Do you think, knowing what you know about Donnie Walsh and those games against Chicago, are those going to be the barometer of what direction he goes in terms of, do I make a push for the playoffs, or maybe do I try to shop at David Lee? I know he's got veto rights. What does your gut tell you about what you think is going to happen around the trade deadline?
I think the Knicks are not going to make any kind of trade that would hurt the salary cap for this summer. But I think they'd be open to doing anything if it, A, could help them this year, and B, doesn't impact their salary cap. So, you know, I don't think David Lee would be involved in that. But I think, you know, I think they would trade, obviously, Nate Robinson. They would trade Larry Hughes if the right deal came along. There's no question about that.
Talking about Jeffries.
And Jeffries, too. Okay. Yeah, of course. They trade him in a heartbeat because he's got his contract goes through another year.
Do you think he's tradable?
I guess anybody's tradable. I don't know. I just don't think teams are taking on salary. There's no way a team is going to take, or I should say, I would doubt that a team would take Jared Jeffries' contract, and if they weren't, and give up a guy with an expiring contract. I just don't think a team would do that.
Frank, what happened to Eddie Curry? Besides, I know he had or is having surgery. I'm not looking back month and a half ago. I thought he was ready to play. Looked okay. Then all of a sudden, the Bulls game in Chicago, that one awful night. Play a little bit, the offense looked bad, never played again, and now he's having surgery. What went wrong?
Well, I just don't think Mike D'Antoni's ever been a big fan of Eddie Curry's. You know, when Curry was healthy last year, he didn't play him. And then this year, the big thing was getting Eddie Curry in shape. He got in shape, and the coach still didn't want to play him. So, I don't. You know, you look at Mike D'Antoni's history, he doesn't like traditional centers. You know, he had Shaq for how many games was it? 45 or something like that, and then they ended up leaving after the season. So I think D'Antoni's history is that he'd rather not have those types of centers. I don't think he's ever wanted Eddie Curry on the team, and he's kind of demonstrated that by his actions. He's never played him. Eddie Curry's played in 10 games in the 2 years that Mike D'Antoni's been the coach.
But the thing is, he will be back next year because he has that player option, and I don't think he's just going to not take it. I mean, I don't know who leaves $10 million on the table.
Well, I don't think he will be back next year. I think they'll reach some kind of buyout because Eddie Curry can't come back without a guarantee that he's going to play because he's only got 1 year left of his contract. So I don't think you'll ever see Eddie Curry again in a Knick uniform. I'm pretty confident about that.
And Frank, as we get closer to we talk about the next couple games, two against Washington, obviously Thursday against Toronto, and then a couple games against Minnesota. As they get closer to the All-Star game, I mean, this is kind of a critical juncture in the season. You get past Kobe and Dirk, and then you've got a couple winnable games before you play LeBron. They really have to make a run here.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think Mike D'Antoni kind of said that today at practice, was that now this is really their time to kind of do something, and it won't be easy because, you know, even though, you know, you mentioned the teams that they're playing, and they're all lottery teams as of right now. But you are playing a couple of them on the road. There will be three games in four nights when you play Toronto on a Thursday. Then you go at Washington on Saturday, then a, you know, long trip to Minnesota and play Sunday night. So even though the schedule looks easy to some degree, you know, there is travel involved. And let's not forget, those other teams are probably looking at like, hey, we got the Knicks on the schedule. We could beat them.
Yeah, and the Knicks getting a lot of national love over the last 24 hours after that classic game in the Garden. Frank, how about thoughts on Mr. Marbury going over to China? I had to ask a Marbury question with you on the air.
Yeah, I don't. Is that done? Is he definitely going over there and playing?
I believe so. I believe he's going to China. He's going to make $25,000 a month and then play some hoops over there.
Yeah.
Spreading his brand.
Yeah. That's good for him. I don't know why he just didn't sign with the Celtics. I mean, he had a chance to play for a team that, you know, could go on championship, maybe win a championship. I don't know why he just didn't do that. I don't know why he wants to go to China. I guess he feels like he could sell his sneakers over there. He's not, but he's not a big enough star anymore. It's not like, you know, I mean, he's not Kobe Bryant. He's not LeBron James. So I don't know how much he will
sell. Will he ever play in the
NBA again? I don't think so. I think that ship has sailed.
Is it ever kind of sad for you to think about?
I guess in some ways. I mean, you know, he obviously was a talented player, but, you know, you reap what you sow. He was wasn't a good teammate. Was kind of always miserable. Thought that he was much better than he was, and I think he alienated enough people where it's going to be hard for him to get a job in the league. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely agreed on that. Frank, thanks as always for giving us a couple minutes tonight here on the Knicks Blog. Always appreciate your help, without a doubt.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. Anytime.
All right, Frank. Thanks. Take care, man. See you at the game on tomorrow night.
All right. Take care.
That was Frank Isola from the New York Daily News here on the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio Time. And I feel like, especially with Frank, I got to ask him one thing about Steph, just for like more like a traditional thing now.
And he makes a great point about, you know, he had the opportunity to sign with Boston. But
yeah, for $1 million.
Unfortunately for Steph, you know, and Frank makes the point that he's not a star. In his mind, he still is. So he is Kobe. He is Michael. He is, you know, he's unfortunately he lives in another world. But we wish him the best of luck in the Far East, right?
So yeah, definitely, Tommy. One of my first experiences of holding a microphone to a player was April '06. It was Baggy. My first experience really holding a microphone to a player was Baggy Day at the last day of the when the Knicks left. And there was Larry Brown and Isaiah Thomas spoke to the media that day, and Stephon Marbury. And that was my first experience, and I had 1,000 reporters in that little room where they practice, you know what I mean? So imagine how nervous I was. And Steph is giving this press conference. There's 1 million writers in that little room, and Steph is talking about how it was the greatest year of his life. You probably remember the interview, correct?
Definitely.
And I'm next to Frank, and I'm sweating because I'm nervous too, because they're actually broadcasting it live on the Michael Kay Show. There's little young Anthony. And Steph goes, man, I don't even talk to that Isola guy anymore. And he looks at Frank and goes, yo, man, you got something to say? And Frank just goes, no. It was just something I'll never forget. And I remember holding the mic to Isaiah and Larry, and they were feeding us their BS about blah, 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 and the rest is history. We got time for one more quick call on the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio, because it's been on the line for a while. Area code 401, you're on the air at the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Got 30 seconds.
Hey, what's up, man? It's Rob.
What's going on, Rob?
What's up, Rob?
A pretty good interview with that Frank. I'm just worried about our point guard situation. I'm not jumping off the bridge because of that Mavericks game. I'm looking forward to trying to get some wins here in February, and then hopefully we play tough out in March and get into that eighth seed. You know what I mean? Can't really look at got to look at eight before we can look at, you know, five or what.
Got to look at nine before you look at eight, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely,
you
Rob. Gotta, thanks.
You
got
to talk about the next five or six games here before you get to Cleveland, because they got a chance to pick up some ground and beat teams that they should beat, which they've, you know, they've generally done a decent job of beating teams that aren't that good. So we'll see what happens here, because the Bulls certainly aren't going anywhere, and the Knicks are going to have to make up some ground.
No question. Like Tommy, like you said, the next six games are very important because, well, of course, watch the Knicks go 4-2 and beat Cleveland. Sometimes just in the NBA, those bizarre things happen. We've seen. I remember when the Knicks were good all through the '90s. You know, that's the team I followed. You'd have a game where you'd. I remember one stretch in February in 2000. They lost by like 30 to the Magic on a Tuesday. Come back and beat Portland the next game. That's just sometimes how the NBA goes. And you know, you could be a great team, and you know that's just how it happens sometimes.
I'm sensing the fans feeling like they're almost to the point where they're saying, just put me out of my misery and, you know, let me think about baseball. And,
yeah.
You know, because basically the Knicks just have to sustain fans until, you know, until pitchers and catchers, and then everybody can go back to complaining about how they're not, LeBron James isn't coming, and we told you so, and the negative stuff. I just feel like fans aren't ready to get put out of their misery, but this five or six game stretch is really gonna. The blog is gonna blow up. I guarantee it. If they don't play well,
I hope it blows up for good reasons. Hope it blows up because they're playing well. And you know, you go back to December. We got about 40 seconds left, Tommy. In December, the Garden was rocking. The first few days in January, hopefully, they can get back to that. They had their best month in 90 years, going 9-6, and they went on. They actually were 12-6 at one point for a stretch. But hopefully, they can get back to that big game tomorrow versus the Wolves. Tommy, great show as always. I will see you at the Garden. Give me the Garden tomorrow.
I will be at the Garden on Thursday, not tomorrow. I have actually play in a rec basketball league that if I don't play in, my team generally forfeits. So I've got to mull that, and I generally go towards the exercise and camaraderie of my friends. So that's why I don't go to the Garden on Tuesday.
Well, no doubt. Well, I'll definitely see you Thursday, and great show tonight. We'll see you Thursday night, and see you on the air Wednesday night back on thenixblog.com.
You got it, bro.
That was another edition of thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Hit me on Facebook, facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls. Follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. Follow Tommy on Twitter, TommyDTKB. You know the deal, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. See you Wednesday night.